This is Kevin Clement, and this is Meet the Ocean Encounters.
Encounters.
Meet the Ocean.
I am going to tell you about the time that I crossed the equator by sea for the first time. Now, that is an ancient tradition, a nautical tradition, of crossing the line ceremonies. It goes back to time immemorial. Nobody knows the origins. Nobody really understands the characters that are involved and why they are involved, but it is an ancient tradition. You must pass into a new life. You must go through an initiation, and you must begin your new existence as a shellback. You see, you start life as a polywog, and only after crossing the equator by sea can you call yourself a shellback. A polywog, kind of a baby that lives in the water, shellback being someone who's been at sea so long that he's crusted with barnacles. So all of this I knew sort of vaguely in 1982 when I first sailed on a ship from Alaska to Tahiti. It is a ship, by the way, that in those days had a different name and a different owner, but it's the one that is now known as the National Geographic Seabird. So we were about 3 weeks at sea, and it was just a skeleton crew since we were repositioning. It was the captain and a mate, four of us deckhands, the chief engineer, and a cook. And so we sailed along doing various jobs, and I knew that we were coming up to cross the equator soon, but nobody had said a word. And I had grown quite complacent about whatever this little initiation ceremony was going to be. I thought maybe I'd get a certificate, for example. But oh no, they were planning a proper crossing the line ceremony. So it was Halloween night, 1982. And I knew that sometime during the night we would be crossing the equator, but I thought no more of it. Until at 2 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden the ship's engines shut down. And if you have been listening to the thrum of those engines for almost 2 weeks continuously, night and day, and they suddenly stop, it brings you bolt upright in bed. So I was already groping for my clothes when the ship sounded general quarters, the emergency alarm, duty stations. And by this time I was grabbing my clothes frantically. And then came the announcement over the PA system, "All polywogs report to the fantail." And I said, oh, no. I thought briefly about hiding under the bunk, but I knew they'd eventually come and find me and drag me out. And I knew something else. I was the only polywog on board for that cruise. So I dragged myself down to the fantail, and there I found myself facing a strange assortment of characters. There was King Neptune, looking suspiciously like the captain, wearing a mop for a beard. There was his wife, Thetis, who resembled the chef on board in a dress. There was a pirate, there was a doctor, there was a nurse, and there was the ugliest baby I had ever seen, the royal baby, who closely resembled our huge, fat, hairy, Scottish chief engineer, Al, except that he was wearing a diaper. Well, I will save you the gory details of what ensued because it would send a shudder down your spine. But let's say that it involved me wearing quite a few raw eggs, some used oil from the engine, and various disgusting things they could find in the galley. But the finale of the whole thing is something so horrible I can barely remember it to this day without a shudder. At some point during the affair, I had noticed that Al's big, round, hairy belly was kind of shiny looking. It turned out to be coated with lard from the galley, and in his navel, an olive, which I had to remove with my hands clasped behind me. I only hope that I live long enough that that memory may begin to fade from my mind. And then they threw me into the water, which is a traditional part of the ceremony. And it was a bit of a shock to go over backwards about 4 feet into the water, but the water was beautifully warm. It was the equator, after all. And it actually felt pretty good to scrub the lard off my face. So I actually kind of dove down scrubbing for a minute. And then I came back to the surface to give my shipmates, these are my friends, remember, give my shipmates a jaunty wave. But as soon as I came to the surface, I realized that something was wrong. I was not right next to the ship anymore. The ship was, in fact, some 20 yards away and drifting further away from me at every moment. And it was then that I realized what none of us had calculated on, which is the equatorial countercurrent, which was running right underneath our hull and is quite a swift current and was having much greater effect on the ship with its much larger surface area than it was on me. So the ship was drifting faster than I was, and it was getting further away every moment. I could see the captain peering out into the darkness, but I was already beyond the lights. And I tried to call out to them, but with the generators running there on the fantail, they couldn't hear me. And I could see the captain getting more anxious. But I also remember the strangest sensation. It was just me, just my body out in the middle of the largest ocean on Earth, getting farther and farther away from the last outpost of civilization. And it was the weirdest feeling of disconnection with the world of men and a growing connection with the ocean and with all that it held. And then I saw the captain suddenly turn and bolt for the bridge to get a searchlight going, and the chief engineer ran for the engine room to get the engine started. But I could also see that it wasn't going to be in time, that by the time they got all that going, I would be lost in the darkness, completely separated from the world of men, potentially forever. And so I turned and I started swimming, and I swam harder than I have ever swum in my life. As a matter of fact, I swam harder than I actually can swim. I would have beaten Mark Spitz's best time that night as I swam for all I was worth back to the ship. And I got back into the lights, I got back into the arms of my friends, and I was brought on board. But I have never forgotten that moment of connection with the ocean. That was when I met the ocean. And that was the moment when I became a shellback.
Meet the ocean.
Meet the Ocean is produced by Paul North and Andrew Geddings. Special thanks to naturalist Kevin Clement for sharing his tale of induction into the shellback community. We are a listener-supported nonprofit. You can find more podcasts, underwater creatures, and ways to donate to our educational outreach on our website, meettheocean.org. Subscribe to our podcast to never miss an episode, and please rate and review Meet the Ocean on Apple Podcasts or on whatever platform you choose to listen. Until next time, may the salt water be with you.